Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text number 25. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita uroyam navijananti lokoyam ajam aviyam. Na nor aham I prakasha manifest sarvasha to everyone yogamaya by internal potency samavrita covered muda foolish I am these. Na, not, abhijanati, can understand, loka, persons, mam, me, ajam, unborn, avyayam, inexhaustible. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know me, that I am unborn and infallible. Purport. It may be argued that since Krishna was present on this planet and was visible to everyone, then why isn't he manifest to everyone now? But actually, he was not manifest to everyone. When Krishna was present, there are only a few people who can understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the assembly of Kurus, when Shishupal spoke against Krishna's being elected president of the assembly, Bhishma supported him and proclaimed him to be the Supreme God. Similarly, the Pandavas and a few others knew that he was the Supreme, but not everyone. He was not revealed to the non-devotees and the common man. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that but for his pure devotees, all men consider him to be like themselves. He was manifest only to his devotees as a reservoir of all pleasure. But to others, who unintelligent non-devotees, he was covered by his internal potency. In the prayers of Kunti, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yoga Maya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. This Yoga Maya curtain is also confirmed in the Ishupanishad, Mantra 15, which the devotee prays. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pitam mukham tatvam pushana parvinu Satya Dharmaya Drishtaye. O my Lord, you are the maintainer of the entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore I pray that you also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yoga Maya. The Brahmajyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Satchitananda Vigraha, your internal, eternal form of bliss and knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form of bliss and knowledge is covered by the internal potency of the Brahmajyoti. And the less intelligent personalists cannot see the Supreme on this account. Also in the Srimad Bhagavatam there is this prayer by Brahma. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Super Soul, O Master of all mystery, who can calculate your potency and pastimes in this world? You are always expanding your internal potency, and therefore no one can understand you. Learned scientists and learned scholars can examine the atomic constitution of the material world, or even the planets, but still they are unable to calculate your energy and potency, although you are present before them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is not only unborn, but also avyaya, inexhaustible. His internal form is bliss and knowledge, and his energies are all inexhaustible. Om Vishnu Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrita Udayam Nabitananti Lokayam Ajam Lokomam Ajam Avyam. I have never manifested the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sattvam rajas tama iti guna prakriti sambhava nibandanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. That the material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. And Krishna explains what these three modes later on in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such as Tatra Sadve Namaladvat Prakashakama Namayam Sukha Sangena Bhananti Gyana Sangena Chagnaga. That the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is liberating and frees one from all sinful reaction. And on the account of this mode, one develops knowledge, becomes conditioned by happiness. And in the mode of passion, Krishna explains, Rajas Rapnika Vidi Trishna Sangha Smudbhava Tani Bhanati Kondiya Karma Sangena Dehinam. That the mode of passion is born of unlimited desires. On account of this, one develops a thirst, Trishna, for sense gratification, and is addicted to working hard. And the mode of passion, Tamaswagana Jambidi Mohanam Sarvadehinam Pramada Lasim Nidravis Tani Bhanati Bharata. Then a mode of ignorance is born of aprakasha, darkness. On account of this mode, one becomes addicted to madness, indolence, and sleep. So these are the modes of nature that's influencing us. Although all of us, each one of us, are eternal souls, and according to Bhagavad Gita, we should be happy to hear, if we can hear it, that anaditvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam sharira stopikondiya na karoti na lipite. That those who can actually see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, beyond the modes of material nature, and despite contact with this material nature, Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. In other words, all of us are eternal. We have nothing to do with the material world. And we're always transcendental. We're beyond these modes of material nature. But these modes of material nature, as explained here, come from Krishna. Tribir, Gunamayar Babar, Abik Sarvamidam Jagat, Moitam Nabijanadi, Lokoyam Ajam Avyam. Similar to this verse, that the three modes, the material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance. Tribir Gunamayar Babar, Abik Sarvamidam Jagat, Moitam Nabijanadi, Lokoyam Ajam Avyam. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above these modes, and inexhaustible. Ye chaiva sattika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye etak matak evati tanvidi na tvaham teshu temayi. Know that all states of being, be there of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature. If they are, on the contrary, are within me. In other words, Krishna has different energies. And one of those energies is called Maya. And those Maya has three phases: goodness, passion, ignorance. And we happen to be in that Maya, in that illusory energy, which is Krishna's energy. Therefore, he says, it's my internal energy transformed. Just like heat can be generated by electricity, and cooling in a refrigerator can be generated by the same electricity. So the same energy of Krishna either covers us in ignorance, identifying ourselves with the material energy, or covers us in spiritual energy, identifying ourselves as some in some relationship with Krishna. Now it's up to the soul to choose which one of those energies he wants to be under. And that's his eternal choice. Just like people wonder, how did a living entity fall? Well, we can see that sometimes we're in Krishna consciousness and sometimes we're in Maya. Or sometimes we're more in Krishna consciousness and less in Maya, and sometimes we're more in Maya and we don't have hardly any Krishna consciousness. So that's our decision. We're making it all the time. Sometimes we decide to become more absorbed in the spiritual energy, sometimes in the material energy. So we're called Marjana, Tatastha. We can go either way. We can forget Krishna if we want, and forget him to different degrees, in different ways, and imagine ourselves to be the enjoyers and the lords of material nature. Or we can identify ourselves as Krishna's servants, and try to utilize this his energies, or desire, to desire that desire the desires of Krishna's desires, dovetail our desires with Krishna's desires, and therefore allow Krishna to utilize our body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. So that's up to us, what we want to do, and that choice is there eternally. Now, due to the absence of our experience in Krishna consciousness, we don't understand how wonderful Krishna consciousness is, because if we did, we wouldn't choose the wrong thing. Everything depends upon taste. Vishayavinivartante nirharasya dehinam rasavarjam rasopyasya pramdrishva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in consciousness. So, Krishna is in our heart, and that can be explained scientifically, or it should be quite obvious. It's as obvious as the fact that we're not these bodies. Now, it's obvious that we're not these bodies if we have intelligence, and we have little intelligence, it's not as obvious. The fact that our bodies are always changing should make it obvious that we couldn't be these bodies because we're not changing. So that's the obvious, and it's obvious that we're not controlling material nature. We don't even know how the material nature is working. We hear it's working under Krishna's direction, but how he's doing it, we have no idea how his energies are functioning, although we see his energy of time is changing everything here. And yet time never changes. We can see that someone's supplying us with remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. All living entities, not just us. There's not only one person in this world who's receiving intelligence from above or from below, depending how you look at it. Everyone is getting intelligence that's being supplied. And therefore, sometimes we remember things more clearly, and sometimes we can't remember what's going on, depending on what state of consciousness we're in. And forgetfulness, sometimes we try to remember something, we can't remember it. And sometimes we try and forget something, we can't forget it. So, it's not within our control. We desire, and in fact, I desire, for instance, if I want to quote a verse, then I desire, and Krishna senses that desire, that it's like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it, and if he thinks I'm qualified, or any one of us are qualified, then he helps us remember that verse. Savasya chaham ridhi sanavishto mataksmitir gyanam apoanam cha vedaischa savaraham eva vedyo vedantakrit veda eva chaham. Now one may question, how do you remember all these verses? Well, I don't remember them. Krishna remembers them. And then he supplies remembrance. Now Krishna is the storehouse of knowledge. He knows everything, past, present, future. So if we ask him, he can tell us. It's like, you may have a big computer, has multi-terabytes of information. And you say, well, how can you type in a few things and you get some information? What's the deepest place in the Atlantic Ocean? Exactly where it's located. So you come, you type a few letters in, and it comes up, you know. So it's northeast of, you know, so and so in the Atlantic Ocean, and the people, wow, you have a fantastic memory. But actually, all you did is the only thing you can remember is where the keys are. You typed it in, and the computer gave you the remembrance. So similarly, if we remember to rely upon Krishna, then Krishna can give us remembrance that's in Krishna consciousness, because he knows everything. And if we don't rely upon Krishna, then what's the chance of our remembering anything about Krishna consciousness? Not very much. So utilizing things in Krishna service, it's much more using things in Krishna service means to think that Krishna wants me to do this, and therefore I should remember therefore we ask Krishna actually what and how should I do this. Then Krishna gives us the remembrance, and we make progress in Krishna consciousness. And when we forget that, then Maya has stored up our remembrance since time immemorial, and she supplies everything that we need. So in the material world, either we depend upon Krishna, and we're put into a certain circumstance in Krishna consciousness, or we forget Krishna and we're put into the modes of nature that we've acquired. Now in the process of Krishna consciousness, luckily we gradually become purified, and some of our past associations become Krishna consciousized, become Krishnaized. And therefore, when we look at something, instead of remembering since time immemorial every association we had with that particular object, when we utilize those objects in Krishna service, then we look at something, then we remember things in relation to Krishna. So that's called Krishna consciousness. So it's just a question of practice. Utilizing things in relation to Krishna, then Krishna will gradually take away our covering. The modes of nature will gradually elevate us from ignorance to passion to goodness. And then when we see things, we'll see them, we'll remember, then Krishna will see them in the mood of devotion, then Krishna will help us remember him in relationship to those objects that we're utilizing in his service. Otherwise, when we utilize things in relationship to our sense gratification, then we remember the particular mode of nature that we're utilizing it in, a particular state of consciousness, either in anger or in lust or in greed, whatever, and then the particular remembrance and mood we experience. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Purport is we should hear about Krishna. We should try to remember about Krishna. We should try to understand things in relation to Krishna. And then we should utilize things in Krishna consciousness. And the result is that we'll remember Krishna. And eventually, when we practice enough and become deeply more absorbed, then every time we chant Hare Krishna, we'll feel Krishna's presence and we'll feel transcendental pleasure, and that's called liberation. And thus we feel transcendental pleasure when we're remembering Krishna, then we're still trying to get free from our anarthas. We're still pretty much covered, but still gradually we'll become purified. And then when we chant Hare Krishna, we'll remember Krishna's forms, etc., and then we'll be able to feel Krishna's presence. And then in that state, we won't be attracted so much by the material energy. And when that pleasure increases sufficiently, then we'll forget about the material energy. Yes. Material energy means our material concept of life, by the way.
If you explained that we don't remember, but Krishna provides us knowledge.
See, Krishna just provided you. You remember what I said because Krishna reminded you.
Where it comes to the play studying shastras, then how is this connected? How is this?
Because those are Krishna's words. We can't hear Krishna in the heart, then we can hear him through Shastra. So Bhagavad Gita is Krishna talking directly to us.
So if we can't, like, extremely deepen our connection with Krishna. The secondary step is study Shastra.
That's the first step. Well, we have to hear from Krishna. Touch Chinu. Maya Sakta Manakparata Yoga Myun Janmana Shaya Asam Shayam Samagram Mam Ita Gyasiti Tachinu. Hear from me, O Sanaprita. Hear from me. How by practicing yoga? So hear about how to practice yoga. And in what way? In full consciousness of me. With your mind attached to me. Then you can know me in full, free from doubt. So first thing is to hear from Krishna. And then hear what? Hear how to practice yoga. And how to practice yoga in full consciousness of him, with mind attached to him. Then we'll become Krishna conscious. And all our doubts, all our identification or misidentification with our gross and subtle material bodies and forgetfulness of our spiritual identity, those will go away. We'll realize who we actually are. As we realize Krishna, as Krishna reveals himself. Anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have also a question regarding two anarthas that we have. And it looks like that there is only a mechanical process that will move these anarthas away. Or how should I understand how to move anarthas away? I mean, I would like that these anarthas go away, but...
you have to pick them up and then throw them out.
This like mechanical process of how everything will go?
If it was mechanical process, it would be quite simple. But it's a little bit more than mechanical. It's a question of our desire. But we already have desires. We've acquired mechanically, by living in the material energy since time immemorial, then we've acquired so many desires. Now, how to get free from them? We have to change our desire. How to change the desire? It starts with hearing. Because unless we understand things properly, or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, for one who sees things as they are, then the influence of the three modes of material nature gradually ceases. So we have to try to hear, try to assimilate the knowledge, try to understand. And then when we see things as they actually are, then when we're faced with a situation where the material nature is impelling us to do something, then we may, our determination and our desire to do it will slacken, and instead we may become determined to do something in Krishna's service. So there's always going to be a time when the desires flow through our mind, and instead of choosing those desires, we choose to remain in Krishna consciousness. That's how we get free from our anarthas, because we take shelter of Krishna. Even in the face of our anarthas, we choose not to follow them, we choose to follow Krishna.
And then what is the more powerful process to... Then to go to listen to kirtan or to take a japa in your hand and do the japa, but I think I am not so good at chanting japa.
Well, that's good. Then you should practice japa. You'll probably make more progress.
Japa.
Well, japa, kirtan, there's nine processes. You can choose, but if you think, well, I'm not so good at japa, therefore I won't do it, then you'll never get good at japa. But if you practice, like if you go on book distribution. Have you ever gone on book distribution?
No.
Oh, okay. You have to experience that. When you go on book distribution, then you're not always so enthusiastic. As a matter of fact, the way you see things, the mood, the anxiety, whatever else is there, especially if you're out of practice. So you go out, and you see people in a certain way, you have a certain conception of what's going on, and then you practice. And sometimes it's not so pleasant. But then after you practice with determination, then gradually Krishna gives you rely upon Krishna more and more, because there's no one else to rely upon. And as you rely upon Krishna, then Krishna, as your desires change, and as you rely upon Krishna, then Krishna starts rearranging your consciousness and rearranging your experience so that people come and you have the intelligence and you distribute books to them, your whole mood, your whole experience changes because you're forced to rely upon Krishna. So when we're chanting japa, we also have the opportunity to rely upon Krishna by following his instructions as best we can. Similarly, every part of devotional service is an opportunity to rely upon Krishna and do it as carefully and as attentively as possible. Every service. But there are certain services that we have to make more effort, and those services usually produce greater effect because of the greater effort. Krishna reciprocates according to our effort. More effort, then the more Krishna reciprocates.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Anything? She has a question. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. I wanted to ask, so sometimes when we do direct service to the deities or to Krishna, it's easy to meditate on his pleasure. But when we are doing like not direct service, can we meditate on pleasure of devotees, or should we try to improve meditation on Krishna's pleasure?
Well, Krishna's pleasure and the pleasure and the meditating on the pleasure of the devotees can't be different. In other words, someone is a devotee because they're a devotee of Krishna. But if we forget their relation with the Krishna, then what are we thinking? But if we're thinking of pleasing Krishna, by pleasing the devotee in Krishna consciousness, we'll be pleasing Krishna and the devotee. That's called Krishna consciousness. Well, Krishna consciousness means we can't forget Krishna, because someone's a devotee because they're a devotee of Krishna. Now, if someone happens to be a very elevated devotee, then it's much more easy, perhaps, to remember them in relation with Krishna. So that's easier. But the idea is that we're practicing, so we see every devotee in relation with Krishna, and we think as service to Krishna under the guidance of the advanced devotees, because we can't forget that we're connected to Krishna through the instructions coming from the advanced devotees, through their instructions and the instructions of Krishna, then I know how to serve this devotee in order to please them in Krishna consciousness and to please our superior devotees in disciplic succession, as well as Krishna. So every moment is a great opportunity to not only please the devotee, but to please our acharyas, to please Krishna, and to ultimately do service for everyone. Is that clear?
Yes, thank you.
But otherwise, if we go and see a devotee and think, well, you know, here's a nice devotee, maybe I'll give them some prasadam and please them. Well, that's nice. But even nicer is to see, here's a devotee of Krishna, and if I please this, and my superior devotee, my Krishna in my heart, the instructions from Krishna and his representatives, Prabhupada and his representatives, have given me some idea how to please this devotee. So not only I just give them prasadam, but how do I offer the prasadam to them? What do I say to them? All these things come from, they become more deeply in meditation with more devotion, the more we rely upon Krishna and his representatives. Then that deepens our service and our loving exchange with those devotees. Is that right? Okay, anything else? Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.